Blog Talk Radio.
Okay,
Let's bring on our panel, Pastor Leroy and Pastor Kent. Okay. Hello, guys. How you doing?
I'm okay.
That's good to hear.
I'm doing fantastic. And welcome back, Pastor Kent. I know you've been gone for a few weeks. What's up with you, man? You all right?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine. I just took some time off. Okay, that's all.
Yeah, I understand that. Okay, well, I'm glad you're good, man. I was getting a little worried about you there. God bless you.
I'm back. I'm back in the saddle again. All righty. Well, we're gonna have Pastor Kent bless us with a message. Okay. What's that gonna be on tonight, Pastor Kent?
Well, as I told you yesterday, it's gonna be on forgiveness.
Amen.
God says in his word that we are to forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. That quote is from Matthew chapter 9. And it's referring to the Lord's Prayer. And it says in the Bible that we are supposed to forgive our brothers and sisters 70 times 7. So what is unlimited forgiveness? How many times will God forgive? Many people are troubled by the fact that they must keep asking God for forgiveness. Because let's face it, we're humans, we mess up, we make mistakes. We do stupid things, and we feel guilty for it. We feel shame for it. And they worry that God will go weary of their repenting, and as they keep coming back. However, God is not like that. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, "Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find it. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. We who seek, finds. And to them who knocks, it shall be opened." In the Greek, the word verb, ask, or to seek, and to knock, are written in such a way to indicate to keep asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. In this very lovely statement, Jesus does not specify what it is that we are to keep asking for and seeking. But surely we do imagine that it includes forgiveness for our sins, the very thing that Jesus shed his blood for to accomplish in Matthew 26, verse 28. If Jesus didn't think that we would keep making mistakes, he wouldn't have said, "To err is to human, to pray is divine." You see, brothers and sisters, when we come to God, the blood does not stop ever. The blood does never stop flowing, as does his forgiveness. Matthew 26, verse 28 says, "This is my blood, the new covenant shed for many of the forgiveness of sins." Jesus died not just for priority or preparation of humanity, but for many that were, that was, and is to come. Christ himself is anointed and made atonement for our sins. According to 1 John 2, 1 and 2, Christ himself is the anointed, anointment of our sins, and not for ours alone, but for the entire world. Simple and elegant. It doesn't matter what age, race, creed, or color you are. It makes, God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't make judgments. He doesn't say, well, you're this kind of person, so I can't forgive you. Because if he does that, he's going back on his word, that whatsoever we ask shall be given unto us. There is no reason for Christ to not forgive us. In this lesson, I would like you to consider three simple facts about the way God reckons sin in his system of mercy and justice. These facts help us to be confident that God will not turn away when we are come bodily to the throne of grace,
all
that
stars.
We may obtain mercy and
stages.
Find grace to help in time of need. That's in Hebrew chapter 4, verses 14, 14 to 16. God does not, first of all, the first point that I want to make is God does not count the time. Peter asked Jesus, how many times should we forgive our brothers and sisters? Peter thought that maybe seven times might be a fair limit. But our Messiah replied, 70 times seven. That's in Matthew 18, verses 21 and 22. Of course, Jesus did not mean literally 490 times, but rather that the number of times are not to be counted, is our Lord's principle of forgiveness. And we may be certain that he did not bind it only upon Peter, but also upon himself. And the reason I say that is this. If Christ, our Messiah, was to die on the cross for nothing else but remission of our sins, that would be enough. But that's not the only reason he died. He died to save us, to give us a way back home, to allow us to have communication with him again, to allow us to be able to learn to forgive as he does. There is no limit. There is no limit on how many times you may ask for forgiveness from God, even the same repeated sin. So brothers and sisters, whether you're messing up and doing the same thing over and over again, in the world we say, you know, we have to learn from our mistakes. Sometimes, if you're like I am, it takes a lot. I'm a very stubborn old cuss. You know, I'm very pig-headed and set in my ways. You see, if I did that, then when I ran away from God at 18, he would not have watched over me from the age of 18 till the age of 30 when he brought me back to the fold. There were many things during that time I did. I denounced Christ. I walked away from Christ. I hated everything Christian and anything to do with God. For example, when I walked into Narcotics Anonymous and they said the prayer, the Serenity Prayer, every time they said the word God, I cringed. I'm like, God is judgmental. God is holier than now. He's omnipotent, and he will never forgive me again. This should not, of course, encourage us to keep on sinning. However, it should encourage us to keep repenting. You see, if we repent, if we are forgiven and we repent of our sins, that's a two-step process. Repentance means I acknowledge the sin that I've done. I turn away from the sin and turn back to the cross. Struggling with our sin, clothed with the full armor of God. This is Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 18. And bring our sin to our Savior. David, one of the greatest men in the Bible, in my opinion. David prayed when he asked for forgiveness. This is after he sinned with Bathsheba. He said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to the loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tenderness and mercy. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. You'll find that in Psalms 51, verses 1 to 13. David pleaded with God. He said, I messed up. I did a really bad thing. I sent her husband to the front line. I had him killed so that I could take what was his for mine. In the greatness of God's compassion, there is a multitude of tender mercies and no upper limit on the number of times can we approach him for forgiveness. Secondly, the second point I want to make is God does not grade our sins. John tells us if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us for our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's in 1 John 1 and 9. The word all is very important in that verse and also in verse 7. See, it's not referring to murders or, you know, stealing or fraud or theft. It's not referring to anything. It's encompassing and rounding all sins together. See, to God, if you commit a murder, it's the same as stealing. He doesn't, you know, this is a good sin, this is a bad sin, this is a horrible sin, this is a terrible sin, this is an unforgivable sin. We do it all the time. Whether our sins are small or great, whether few or many, whether done once or often repeated, the blood of Christ can cleanse them all, every single one.
Amen.
You see, in God's eyes, there is no categories. This is a great sin. This is a bad sin. This is a horrible sin. This is an unforgivable sin. It's simple. It says it in the Bible. Our sins and cleanse us from all, not some, not just this kind, but all unrighteousness. God does not have a sin categorization system where, for example, a small sin, an occasional sin is simply overlooked or disregarded. No. Moderate, not too frequent sin is forgiven. When requested, no. Expressive or oft repeated misbehavior is refused for forgiveness. That may be human justice. And as a longtime criminal, when I went to jail and I said, but I righted my life in Christ. I now follow the Bible. The judge looked at me and said, you still committed a crime. You still have to pay for your crime. You see, the world does not look at things Christ-like. They don't look at things spiritually. There are some judges, I'm not saying there's not, that will. But it is not the way God justifies system works. God does not grade sin according to severity or frequency. 2 Peter 3, verse 9 says, God will not that anyone should perish, but all should come to repentance. And when God comes at that time, when he judges this earth, there will be many people fall on their face. There will be people scream and holler for the rocks and the earth to open up and swallow them so that they do not have to face the wrath of God. You see, God is no respecter of persons. God does not edify or interject with, oh, it's okay, that's a sin, okay. No, I can't forgive this sin. Because if he does, then he simply came to the cross for no reason at all. This includes all sinners, those who have sinned little and those who have sinned much and those who repeatedly do the same thing. The third point I want to make, I'm almost done, just bear with me. God keeps no record of our wrongs. Paul tells us that love thinks no evil. And the Greek here came from the translation a little more strongly as reckons not evil. This is in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 and 5. I do this way because I have different types of Bibles. I have Hebrew Bibles. I have Bibles that are written in modern-day English. And I even use the King James Version, but only for reference. I don't read it myself. Some people like it. I just don't. And this is why I go this way. The Greek here is very strong. It's very clear. It means evil, if it exists in a Christian, cannot live very long. It cannot last. Since this is God's principle of love, he persists it himself, and he practices it. When we ask him to forgive our wrongs, he keeps no record of them. We know that as a Christian, we come to Christ. Everything prior to what we did is gone. It's erased. It doesn't exist. It's out there somewhere in limbo and in space. Nobody, Christian, can call it back to you. Because that's not Christ-like. In Christianity, there is no remembrance. Those of us that are married and have spouses, and our spouse sits there and says, well, I remember when you did this and that and this. See, God doesn't do that. Our Savior does not do that. When Jesus saves us, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is according to Revelation 21, verse 27, Philippians 4, verse 3. Do we suppose that against our names in God is recorded all sins? No, rather, they are blotted out according to Acts 3:19, Psalms 51:1, and God will remember them no more. The sins he has forgiven. This is in Hebrews 12, Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34. When we come to Christ, when we come to our Messiah, when we bow our knee and say, God, forgive me for my sin, we have to name the sin. Now, if we don't know the sin, we can ask a general forgiveness. But when we know the sin, we are supposed to name that sin. And he will reply I forgive you for that sin. And he will name the sin. Now, make no assumption here that if you don't know the sin, that he's not going to forgive you, because that's not what he says. In conclusion, John 6, verse 37, he who comes to me, I will not at all cast out. In other words, we don't have to be a good Christian to come to Christ. We don't have to live a perfect life to come to Christ. God, I used to hurt people. I used to hit people. I used to beat people up for a living. Our problem in coming to the Lord to obtain forgiveness is not that we have too much sin for him to forgive, but that we have too little faith that he will forgive it. Let me say that again. When we come to him for forgiveness, it's not that we have too much sin for him to forgive, but we have too little faith that he will forgive it. That's because we tend to measure God's mercy and justice by a human measurement. Comparing human measurement, spiritual measurement, is like comparing a honeydew melon to a watermelon, or a baseball, a softball, sorry, to a golf ball. They're not even the same category. They don't even take up the same space. You can't measure one against the other. Mathematically, logically, you can't say a softball's weight is equal to the weight of a golf ball. The weight of a watermelon is equal to the weight of a cantaloupe. You can't do that because mathematically, logically, and ethically, that doesn't fit. God does not do things by human standards and limitations. You see, mathematically, logically, humans have limitations. We only use like a third of our brain. We only use part of our smarts, if you will. We don't use the whole brain. So let us listen again and again to his promises and just take him at his word. And when his word shows us that we are forgiven, let us trust his word, not our feelings, our emotion, our beliefs, our psychic, our way we were taught. Let's just throw that all out the window. When we do that, our feelings will begin to change. And instead of guilt, we will have the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. Philippians 4, verses 6 to 9. Not only will we have confidence that God's forgiveness can forgive all our sins, but we will also be able to forgive ourselves. The most important thing when we forgive others, is we have to let ourselves feel the emotion. We have to let ourselves forgive if we've wronged others. If you read the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 9, verses 31 to 45, you will see what I'm saying. And we all know what the Father prayer is. We all know it, what it says. You see, if we think humanly about our sin, it's not going to work. Oh, God can't forgive me for hurting that person. God can't forgive me for doing that wrong because it was too undignified. It was too gruesome. It was too horrible. It was too graphic. Balderdash and hogwash. He does not think that way. It doesn't matter whether you murdered somebody or whether you stole money from a friend or family member. Everything from A to Z in sin can be forgiven. And you may be wondering in life how I can understand that. It took me a long time. It didn't come overnight. When I was younger, as I said last night, I was raped by a man. I was sexually sodomized. And for a long, long time, I couldn't forgive him. I wanted to do unspeakable things to him. I wanted to make him suffer like he made me suffer through my life. God brought to my attention something. And he said, tell me something. If I can forgive them for crucifying me, why can't you forgive this man for doing what he did? I pondered over that for a while. And I said, Lord, I can't forgive him. I don't know how. But I know you can teach me how. Teach me how to forgive. And he did. And as I said last night, if I saw that man in heaven, I would walk up to him and love him as a brother in Christ. Who do you want to do the altar call, Ken?
I think I'll do the altar call. Thank you very much, Pastor Kent, for your fabulous message. It's always good to hear a good message. Amen. Well, listen, folks, if you're out there and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, you have a chance to right now. All you got to simply do is say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, for too long I have kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I bravely receive the gift of salvation. I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God, who died on the cross for my sins and then rose from the dead on the third day. Once again, I want to thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true, so please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior tonight. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you said this prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministries would like to welcome you to the family of God. We'd like to say, may the Lord bless you, and may he always keep you highly favored. And if you said this prayer, we would like you to call into area code 657-383-1487. Once again, that number is 657-383-1487, and press the 1 key. When you press the 1 key, you'll come on live, and you can let us know that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior tonight. Amen. All righty. Let's bring back on Pastor Leroy. Pastor Leroy, what did you think of that message that Pastor Kent gave?
Well, I thought that was pretty impressive. You know what? I gotta tell you this, Pastor Kent. You know, I really feel bad about what happened to you when you was a child, man. I really do. It's a terrible thing to have to go through, and it stays with you for the rest of your days. It's a horrible thing that you had to go through, man. On another note, I think Pastor Kent and myself, and maybe some of the callers can chime in on this. Last night on your show, Pastor Kent, we had a talk about Adolf Hitler. Now, I don't want to get too much into it, but you had said that you would hug Adolf Hitler in heaven if you met him. You would hug him. Is that right?
Yes. Why would I not?
Well, you know what? I lost some sleep over that last night, man. My old lady, she come up to me. She said, "What's the matter with you, man?" And I said, "Look, I can't sleep because of what Pastor Ken." Pastor Ken, I consider you a friend, man. I've been on a lot of your shows for the past couple of months. I've been a part of this threesome or foursome with Pastor Beals. And you know what? I was really shocked by that last night, man. It showed me a different part of you, man, that I didn't even know existed. That's all I'm going to say about that. I just hope, I want the callers to call in and give their opinion on this. I just have a problem with it, man. Now, bring me a beer.
We're allowed to disagree. You're allowed to have your opinion, but don't expect me to fall in line and have the opinion you have, because it's not going to happen. Am I saying Hitler's in heaven? No. But what I am saying is, if he was, I would welcome him, because the only people who can get to heaven are those who have a relationship with our sovereign Lord. The only way to get through the pearly gates.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna play a song here. Okay. And
Pastor Ken, do you have anybody on hold right now that pressed the one key?
No, I do not. Here we go with "Won't Let Me Go."
Door I give you control. Tonight. I am a member of a white power Nazi gang, but I'm a married man who I have chronic infidelity with Jewish women. So on one hand, if my gang buddies find out I'm with a Jewish woman, they're going to want to kill me. And on the other hand, if my wife finds out I'm cheating, she's going to want to divorce me. So I definitely need some guidance at this point.
Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor Kent, you want to give this gentleman some advice?
Why? Not going to listen.
I don't know.
He's a white supremacist.
Like he needs some help.
No, he's a white supremacist. He's made his
but
choice.
I'm attracted to Jewish
nice.
Women, so I'm conflicted.
Like I said. Like I said, you're not going to listen. Somebody else
but
can take this one.
When I have sex with my mistresses, I pretend my penis is a knife and Hitler is smiling. So, like I'm stabbing them. And I don't understand on one hand why I'm racist, but on the other hand attracted to Jewish women. I think Jewish women are as dumb as a jar of mayonnaise. I don't like them, but yet I'm strangely attracted to them, and I'm very conflicted.
Ken, are you not from Jewish descent? Why don't you take this
yes,
one?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm from Jewish descent. Yeah. Well, you know, sir, being racist is not a good thing. Okay, we're supposed to love one another. Okay, as God loves us, okay, and that means all religions, races, ethnicity groups. Okay, we shouldn't be racist.
Okay, but When my gang buddies and I go out, last month when we beat up a couple of Jewish women and they were beating the man, I held the woman down and pretended I was hitting her, but really I was just groping, and I didn't want to harm her, but I find that I'm, you know, attracted, and like I said, I'm cheating on my wife. I went on the J date, and I'm hooking up with the Jewish women. I have chronic infidelity. If these guys find out, I'm dead. But, you know, I heard that Kent said he used to beat people up for a living, and that if I asked for forgiveness from the Lord, I could be forgiven. I'm very confused. Will the Lord forgive me for beating up the Jews and cheating on my wife?
Yeah, the Lord will forgive you if you actually really repent and you ask the Lord to come into your life tonight, okay? Like if you don't know the Lord, you know, you got a chance to get to know him. You know, all you got to do is say a little prayer, and God will come into your life, and everything will be forgiven.
Okay. Amen. Thank you for your help, and I will just pray on it and see if I can calm myself down and hope that the Lord will guide me in a better direction.
Amen. I hope he does. Okay? Amen. God bless you, sir. Okay, have
Thank
a good
you.
Night.
You too.
All right. Let's bring on area code 617. 617, you're on the air.
Hello, this is Shita. So I come to call for advice.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, hello, my brother. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I want some advice when it comes to, like, finding God. I feel like I have been forsaken by my church. It's like I tried calling for help, and no one ever really reached out to really lend me a hand ever since things have gone out and since my divorce.
Okay. So, have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior?
Well, it's mainly because I used to be a porn star in Africa, and because of that, they see it as ungodly. I used to have my production called the African Bush. And since then, they feel like I'm just ungodly. They feel like, oh, you're just a pig. Oh, you're just some kind of sex hound. Well, there's nothing like that at all. I'm just trying to get my visa set up so I can go back home.
Okay.
So what do I do,
okay.
Pastor Kent?
Pastor Kent, do you want to talk to him about that?
Oh, I thought he said your name.
No, he said you.
If you're legitimately asking for help, he is bound by his word to honor your prayer. Now, we're assuming that you're serious. Now, as far
yes.
as your church, all I can say is you have to read Matthew about false prophecy. And there are a lot of pastors like that. If you don't fit into their realm of normality or normalness, you are an outcast. There are a lot of churches like that. So I suggest in your city you find some pastor that will accept you as you are, not as you're supposed to be. Ken, do me a favor. You tell it better.
Yeah.
Tell him the story about the man who went into church and wasn't dressed properly.
Yeah, okay. There was a gentleman that was an old cowboy, okay, and he wasn't dressed. Okay, he came in old ragged jeans and an old ragged Western shirt, okay, so people would shun him in the church. And not talk to him and badly. So the pastor comes up to the gentleman and says, "You need to ask God, okay, how you're supposed to come in when you come dressed when you come to church, okay?" So the cowboy said, "Okay, pastor, okay," and he goes about his way. He comes back. A couple of weeks later, dressed the same way again. So the pastor said to him, "Did you ask God, okay, how you're supposed to be dressed when you come to church?" He said, I did, Pastor. But he said God didn't. He said he'd never been to this church, so he couldn't tell me. Yeah. So that's
Oh, now I get it.
Yeah, you get it.
So what you,
okay.
So what you say is I need to find someone who can accept me despite being a porn star, and I might get back into it, actually. That sounds like a good idea. It makes good money.
Well,
no,
you,
that's not what
you
I was
can,
saying.
No,
well, why
that's
not
what he's saying. Because you can't be a fornicator and be a Christian, too. You can't have sex out of wedlock in other marriage and still be a good Christian. That's a sin.
But it's so sexy. But it's
that's
sexy.
Nice. There's a lot of things sexy in this world, but you know what? If it contradicts the Bible, it's wrong. Now, do you have to change to come to Christ? No. And I take you to John chapter 3, verses 13 to 16. No one has ever gone into the presence of God except the one who came down from the presence of God, the Son of Man. In the same way that Moses lifted the serpent in the desert so the people could have something to see and then believe, it is necessary for the Son of Man to be lifted up and everyone who looks upon him trust and expect they will gain a real life, eternal life. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his only Son, his one and only Son. And in this way, so that no one need be destroyed, by the believing in him, anyone who can have a whole and everlasting life, God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his Son merely to point and accuse a finger, telling the world how bad it is. He came to help and to put the world right again. God came, Jesus came as a man. He was born of a woman birth, a virgin woman birth. Therefore, he was not infected with the sin. Because
did you just
the
say
woman,
he didn't come?
Huh?
Did you just say God just come?
Yeah, come, as in came, and from heaven to earth. Not the other one. You don't go there. Okay? Don't mince my words.
Don't take that though with me, sugar cookie.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Wow.
Okay.
You guys are really, really freaking relentless, aren't you?
Sex is like in Africa, it's like a sacred art. You know, it's a common practice in Nigeria.
Okay, you know what? You're not going to listen to me, so I'm just going to shut up now.
Yeah, because Pastor Ken can speak more sense. Or Pastor Leroy.
Okay.
Anyway,
Ken,
you're all
fine. Right, all right, you sir.
Ken.
I'm going to say goodnight. God bless you. I hope everything comes out all right, all right? All right.
All right,
here we go.
Good pass.
All righty. Well,
Ken.
Yeah, Pastor Leroy.
Man, you had me on mute, man. Why you keep putting me on mute,
no,
man?
I didn't have me on mute.
No, I take some more calls,
no,
man.
Whatever. You got something you want to say?
You broke up. I couldn't hear you. What'd you say?
I said, you said you got something you want to say? You haven't been on mute.
No, I ain't got nothing to say now. I had something to say during that person you had on, but it's cool, man. Just Just take more phone calls. I want to hear what people have to say tonight, man.
Well, I haven't got any more people calling in. That's the problem. Hey, if you're in the chat room and you want to call in, you know, call in to area code 657-383-1487. Okay, I'd like to hear from Mike Hunt. Okay, Tony Farrar. Okay. If you wanted to say anything, Gavin Moorhead, call in 657-383-1487. All right.
Pastor Kent, are you still there, Pastor Kent?
I'm here.
I don't understand that last caller, man. Maybe you can explain what he was trying to do.
He's trying to get a reaction out of me.
Maybe not. You never know with people, okay?
Ken, he used the word that everybody's been calling me, sugar cookie. Do you really think I'm that stupid to fall for that? Really?
No. I didn't hear him say sugar cookie, though.
I have a question about that, Pastor Kent.
What?
So these people on here, the one guy last week, I believe, called you that on Ken's show like 2 weeks ago or something like that.
Yeah.
So what does that mean, man? Now, look, I've been in prison, and I know what a sugar cookie is in prison.
Well, that's exactly what they're referring to.
But why would they do that? Why would they say that to you? All due respect, why would they say that to you if it wasn't true, man?
So you believe them over me? Okay.
No.
Good to know.
No. You're understanding wrong.
That's what
man.
You just said.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying
you just
why
said
would
that.
Somebody bring that up? That's all I'm saying.
Because they don't know me. They don't know who I am. They know nobody I know, but yet they say they do, and everybody follows what they say. Follow. It's like the old kid game. Samson says, so they do. That's exactly what they're doing.
Well, I don't know why people want to be like that, Patrick Kent.
Oh, I do, because they like to make a game out of it. They think it's a game. You know? And if I was who I was 25 years ago,
you know what I want to ask you, Pastor Kent? And I haven't asked you this yet, but I'm going to ask you something I have never asked you.
What?
And I hope you would tell me the truth.
What?
What you go to jail for, man? And why?
Assault.
Question two is why were you beating up so many people, man?
For one, I went to jail for assault causing bodily harm, and assault with a deadly weapon. Now, as far as why I beat people up, I was an enforcer. That's why.
An enforcer for what? The mob?
Both. The mob and the bikes.
Damn, man. You was a badass mofo.
Yeah, I was. I was.
Now, how long were you? How long were you in the clique, man?
Well, first time was my first offense was assault. I was in there 30 days. Second time I was in there for assault causing bodily harm, 90 days. The third time I went in, they made a joke of it. Assault with a deadly weapon. They made a joke of it. They thought it was funny. And I looked at the judge. The judge looked at me and I said, Judge, you're giving me less than a year. I laughed in his face. I said, you're full of shit. I said, you're nuts. Do you realize what I've done? I said, I've had three offenses. According to law in Canada, if you have three offenses, you go to prison time, man. Plain and simple.
Yep.
That's prison time. Three offenses under the same thing, and each one worse than the other, that means you get prison time. And I looked at the judge, and I laughed at him. I said, if you're going to give me time, I said, give me 2 years or something. I said, so I can go get my head straight. Well, he deliberated 15 minutes. He came back and he said, I have never had a criminal ask me for more time. He said, I don't quite know what to do here. He says, I'm going to give you the maximum I can, which is 18 months. That's all you get for assault with a deadly weapon here in Canada is 18 stinking months.
Wow.
Damn.
Gotta,
now, in America,
you gotta,
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Pastor Ken. I'm sorry.
Third time's a charm.
Yeah, exactly. And I wanted to go to prison because I hate life. That's why I wanted to go to prison, because I was not safe anywhere. You mess with me, I knock your head off. You cross me, I snap your jaw. You mess around with me, you're going to get drawn down on. I had two friends of mine. They had a bad deal in the drugs. One screwed over the other. They both took out their pistols and put it at each other's heads. I sat there and I looked at them and I said, you stupid, stupid fools. I grabbed my handguns out of my hand. I put one to his head, one to his head. And I said, you shoot him, I'm going to shoot you. You shoot him, I'm going to shoot you. I said, your choice, boys. Put him down and act like men and grow up and stop acting childish. Or we're going to die right here. Because of my reputation, they put their guns away, and they knew doggone well I'd pull the trigger.
So basically what you're saying is that in Canada they just send you to jail, and then they send you to prison. So technically you've only been to prison once for 18 months when you asked the judge
to
send you to prison.
I've never been to prison. I just said that, Tony. I've only been jailed.
I
wanted to go
that
to prison.
Part, it's been going in and out, so I hadn't been able to hear some of the stuff.
I asked
so you
the
wanted
judge,
to go
I
to prison. So you
yes.
wanted to go to prison, but the judge didn't send you. So technically,
yes.
You've never been to prison.
I never said I had. I said I did jail time.
Well, no, I'm just asking. I don't know why you get so defensive. I'm just asking a question.
I'm just answering your question. No.
Well, you're getting, but
I've
you're getting defensive about it.
Well, that's your opinion.
Okay.
That's
well, no,
not
it's not
me
my
being
opinion.
Defensive. Yes, it is
well,
your opinion.
Well, yes, you're right, and you're not going to follow my opinion, so it really doesn't matter now, does it?
Nope.
But I see where you're cut. But I do understand where you're coming from, because you were probably just defensive all the time and you don't realize it because you've been doing it so long. Because I'm not the only one you come across to like that. There's a lot of callers that say that you are always on the defensive. You always think people are
That's
trying to
good.
Talk bad to you and downgrade
That's
you
good.
And whatnot.
I'm glad. Because you know
that
what?
Just seems from a man of
like
God, that's not the way to be. A man of God should
you know
not
what?
Be on the defensive.
I'm not going to sit and let anybody railroad me for nothing. No way, no how.
But you're always thinking
never
that they're
have,
railroading you.
Will.
That's the whole problem.
Well, why when
you have a big
prosecution
complex. You think everybody's out to get you. That is serious. That is a serious problem.
Are you a psychiatrist?
No, but I've been to enough of them.
Then shut up. You don't know what you're talking about.
Now, isn't that very rude of you to tell me to shut up, you
yes,
no account white bastard?
Yes. Because
you a nasty motherfucker who doesn't know shit in the goddamn first place. You are defensive. You are rude. You are tacky.
Thank you. You know what? Your
and you're not
going
to tell me
matter.
To shut up. How dare
shut
you?
Up.
I'm a caller, and you're telling me to shut up?
Shut up.
You shut up.
Did you hear it this time?
Oh, yeah, I heard you tell me to shut up.
Good. Then shut up.
So why don't you shut up?
Because I don't have to, because I'm part of this show. You're not.
Guess what? I pay for this show.
Well, I guess then
well,
I
so
stand
I pay for
corrected.
You to be on
well,
here, so
pardon
you shut
me
up.
All to rat poop. You know
you're
what?
Welcome.
I'm sorry to offend you. I will never offend you again. Bye-bye.
Laters.
Okay.
Go!
So do we have any callers?
We got a caller from 111.
Let me have it.
111. You're on the air.
Holy shit. What just happened, man?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Yes, hi, my name is Billy, and I'm a very, very fat guy, and I just can't stop eating the Snickers, the pizza, and the sugar cookies. I just love those sugar cookies. Can you say a prayer for me so I can stop eating?
Hallelujah, yes. Lord, please help this gluttonous man get over his gluttony problem. Help him from stopping to shove food in his mouth until he kills himself, Lord. Please help this man not kill himself.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Yes. All right. Well, let's see.
Hey. Pastor Ken, am I on?
Yeah, you're on.
Hey. Yo, Tony. Tony Farrar, you there, man?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, so what happened, man? Why? I mean, look. What happened? Why did you make Pastor Kent go away like that, man? What's the matter with you?
Because I'm tired of him being defensive. All he does is argue with everybody. He doesn't listen to what people are saying. All he does is assume that people are attacking him. He comes on here and acts like he's this big, rough hooligan who's been to prison and knows what it's all about. He's only been in city jails. Give me a break. You know, let's talk to people who have been in prison, who know what it's like to be in prison, not fakers who just sit back and say, oh, yeah, I've been to the pen, man. I've been to prison. Motherfucker, you were in county jail. Shut the fuck up. There's a difference.
Yeah, I went to prison, and it was not nice.
I went. It's not nice, but it's not a city jail.
No.
And that's the only place
no,
he's been is a city jail. You can't talk smack and act all tough if you've only been in a city jail. Get over yourself.
Well, that I have to agree with you on that. Now, I did 6 years in the clink. I did two separate times, and I was in prison. I wasn't in city
well,
jail.
Well, that's it. So you can
all
say
right,
you
I
were
can
in
tell
prison.
I you how things go in prison, and that's why Pastor Ken and I think, see eye to eye on things because we've both been there. I've been there. It's not a great
yeah.
place to be. And you don't want to go into
nope.
prison with an attitude. You go into prison with an attitude, whether you're black or white.
But there's still no reason
kicked,
to pretend.
Man.
There's still
somebody.
No reason to pretend and sit back and be a poser and pretend you're a con when you're not. He's supposed to be a man of God, and yet he is right there perpetuating a lie to his congregation by saying, I have been to prison. I was tough. I was beating people. Now, if you were beating that many people and you only serve time in a little city jail, you're not as tough as you think you are. And the court system wasn't that afraid of you.
Yeah. Which I thought was kind of weird is that he got 18 months in a county jail. I thought county jails, you can't do more than a year.
Yeah, well, they're from Canada, and so, you know, assault with a deadly weapon could be beating somebody with a baguette. You know, you have to remember they're in Canada. They don't even have a gun. They don't even have a gun problem in Canada. Starting with that.
Yeah.
So, his little story about I put a gun to his head and a gun to his head and said, we're all going to die. Shut the fuck up. You're not Clint Eastwood. This is not Dirty Harry. And you're not Magnum. Stop. Stop. Please.
Well, how do you know? How do you know, Tony, that it didn't actually happen? I mean, how do you?
Come
on. We don't know that.
Do you believe it? Do you believe it happened?
Well, it's not whether I believe it or not, man. I mean,
do you believe
to me,
it happened?
I don't know why you would come on here, why he would come on here, and say something that's not true.
Same
that's
reason
all.
He said he was a con. Same reason he said he was an ex-con, and that wasn't true. Well, suddenly I have silence in the congregation.
Yeah, well,
I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to argue with you, Tony, because I like you. I like you, and
I
like
you
I like
too. And I'm not arguing. I'm just stating a point. If you're going to come on here and say stuff, you're going to say stuff. Back up your stuff. You got to be able to back up what your mouth puts out. Because if you don't, you're in the wrong. And if you're a pastor who can't put up and back up what's coming out of your mouth, you're really wrong.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Tony. Do you not, on a personal basis, do you not like Pastor Kent?
I've never met the man. I've never spoken to the man personally. I've only heard him on the shows. And when he comes on and does the shows with Ken. So all I know about him is what I've heard out of his own mouth.
But you don't like him.
So I don't dislike him or like him one way or the other. I have really no opinion on him, except for the fact that he has a tendency to tell lies and then not admit them.
Okay. Hallelujah.
I mean, it's not the first time. I mean, well, the last time I was on the show, he said he had been sleeping in the same bed with his wife for 2 years and never had sex. So that was a lie on the last show I was on, and then I caught him on another lie this time saying he was an ex-con. So every time I come on the show, it's because Kent is lying.
Well, let me ask you this. How do you know that he was sleeping with his wife in the same bed and not having sex? How do you know that's not true?
But he said, because after he said it, then he tried to say that it wasn't his wife, that they weren't married. So he completely changed up his story by saying he had never said it. Like I said, you have to be able to back up what comes out of your mouth, because if you can't, you're a poser.
Look, I'm not trying to defend anybody. I don't know Pastor Kent.
Well,
I've got to go.
I've got to go get dressed. I'm heading out, so bye. It was fun. Hope to see you tomorrow at 5 o'clock.
God bless you. All righty. Well, tonight here. Huh?
Pastor Kent. Pastor Kent.
Yeah.
What the hell was that, man?
That was Tony expressing his thoughts.
Look, all due respect, man. I mean, all due respect, but, I mean, I don't get this whole thing because Pastor Kent's never coming back on your show again. You know that, right?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. Pastor Kent will come back on.
Y'all call him Sugar Cookie and everything else. You think he's not coming back? Shut the fuck up.
He'll come back. He'll come back. On.
Did he just tell me to shut the fuck up?
Yeah, he did. Can't prove it.
No, I'm going to let him slide on that one because I like him. It's okay to tell me to shut the fuck up because I will shut the fuck up.
I like you too, DC.
Okay.
What do you mean, DC? You think I'm DC? I'm not DC, man.
DC, that's not
DC?
Last night.
No. Oh, I thought it was all this time.
I
wasn't DC, it's Pastor Leroy.
Oh, well, I figured it was, you know, somebody saying that they were Pastor Leroy, but it sure sounds like DC.
No, it ain't DC, man.
I was on last night on Pastor Ken's show with DC. So how could we be the same person? Look, I like
you. I missed that.
Tony.
Sorry. I apologize. I thought you were somebody else.
Oh, my God.
And he was on here when DC was on.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I missed that show, obviously.
Yeah.
I apologize for saying this man is DC. He's not DC. Okay.
Fine. No, you're not.
Look, man, holy shit. I can't believe that. Tony actually apologized, man.
Hey, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I can admit when I'm wrong.
Okay. I'm going to say God bless everybody. Okay, I'll give a shout out to one from Alabama. Okay, Johnny Longfeather, DC2, everybody in Discord chat rooms. Okay, God bless y'all. God bless my cunt, Ashley66, Grimshaw, Dr. Kent. Okay. Tony Farrar, Gavin Moorhead, I Just Bought It, Shit Ass, Tommy Monahan, God bless you all. Have a wonderful night and see you tomorrow at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. Bye-bye.